Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha, no everyone. Want to welcome everyone once again for tuning in tonight. Thank you so very much for making the time and the effort. Tuning in to 99.5 FM, The Word. Want to welcome you once again to Free Inside Ministry, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill. You know, we are the prison ministry that we come to share an encouraging word. We come to lift you up. We come to encourage you and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We reach out to the broken. We reach out to the lost. We reach out to the incarcerated. And like I tell my brothers and sisters that are locked up, I said, come on, guys. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be locked up to be locked out. Some of you sitting right in front of me tonight are more free than half the people walking Cujillo Avenue tonight. You know that? But you see, sometimes it's how we perceive where we're at. It's how we perceive our situation will determine our reaction. You see, but we need to believe not in the seen, but in the unseen. Hallelujah. You know, just once again, want to give a big shout out. Looking so forward to tomorrow night, getting up to Halava. Going to be with the Berean brothers up there. Trying to bring one of my praise and worship brothers, Robert Helsher. Maybe we have some live praise and worship. Let's sing some Christmas carols, some Christmas songs. Just get into the festive spirit of Christmas. And it's not Xmas, because that's only an excuse. It's Christmas, because Christ comes first. And so anyone who says happy holidays, I say, strike that, Merry Christmas. Amen? Amen. You know, we do have a website for those of you interested in the website, and that is www.freeinsideministry.org. And we also have a Facebook page for those of you on the social media wave still paddling around there. You can find us at Free Inside Ministry. Check those two out. You know, and we do have an email, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. And for those of you that need to reach out and talk to me on the phone, you know, we still do that. That's at 808-222-2822. Amen. And watch out how you dial that number. Once again, 808-222-2822. Because if you dial the wrong number, you might get Uncle Frank DeLima and the cab. Amen. Amen. You know, my brothers and my sisters, by now, if you have been listening to this program, you know that our anchor verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. And that goes out to each and every one of you. Because my brothers and sisters, what you need is hope. You might think you need money, but that's a byproduct. What you really need is hope. And the only hope that you truly have is the hope in Jesus Christ. If you've been around the track and back, if you feel like you've been tore up from the floor up, if you feel like you've been beat up from the feet up, let me tell you, try Jesus. Just give him a try. That's all I wanted to share and to let you know that, if anything, just know that God loves you right where you're at. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter who you've done or who you've said anything to, no matter what you have done, God loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. Amen. For many of you, I know you're sitting there, you go, Bulla, I don't know about me, man. I've been locked up so many times. I've been inside more than I've been outside. Well, you know, we all didn't get out of sixth grade together, you know, and that's just like our walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. But I got to let you know, God don't make mistakes. Each and every one of you sitting there right now on the edge of your bed, on the edge of your bunk, God has redeemed you for far greater things than being incarcerated. You see, but sometimes it's hard for us to pay attention. You know, it's just like, you got to remember, you know, if any of us have kids, if any of you have kids, why do we discipline our kids? Why do our kids have to get cracked sometimes? Because they do good in school? Because they do all their chores? Because they're respectful? Because they're just doing everything that they need to be doing? No, they get cracked because they get out of line. They don't do what they're supposed to do. And it comes to the point where we think that a physical adjustment, a.k.a. cracks, will get them on the right path or the right track. I grew up, I got my share of cracks, so I got lickings, you know, and I turned out okay. But now you got to imagine if, as fathers and mothers, moms and dads, if that's what we do to our children when they can't pay attention or they keep breaking the rules, hello, for those of us that are incarcerated, that realize we are incarcerated. Sometimes we like to make light of the situation. I'll go into some of the modules and it's like, hey, girlfriend, this ain't Club Med. This is Club Fed. We locked up, you know? So when you've come to that realization that you are incarcerated, that you are behind bars, you have to realize that God loves you so much. And it's because of that love that he had to discipline you. He had to remove you from what you were doing because I was probably taking you down the wrong path to put you in a place where, for example, my brothers and my sisters, if I were to say, what is that stuff on top of the fence when you look outside the window? That's the barbed wire. Okay. Some of you might have said the razor wire. Okay. And that's fine. So let me ask you this. Why do they have to put the barbed wire on top of the fence? Now, the fence is about 20, 30 feet high. But what? How come we got to put the barbed wire? What would you answer? Many of you would say, oh, Rev Boo, that's because they like keep us in. You know what? I would say you're partially right. You're partially correct. But let me share this with you, if I may, my brothers and my sisters. They put that razor wire up there. They put that barbed wire up there to keep the Opala out. You see, God took you out of a place that wasn't good for you. God took you out of a place that wasn't going to give you a positive lifestyle. God took you out of a place that was taking you down the wrong path. And he put you in a place where he could protect you from all of the rubbish. You see, nobody can call you up at 2 a.m. and tell you come smoke. Nobody can call you up and say, hey, we'll go down to the beach and have a beer. You don't go down to the beach and have a beer. You go down to the beach and have a case or two. You don't just have one beer. What are you, a tourist from New Jersey? You're going to have a Mai Tai and go home? No. You're going to get blitzed. You know, you don't have the friends, I said, call you up and say, hey, the house over there, both the husband and wife work two jobs. Nobody home. We'll go pin them tomorrow. Get plenty of stuff inside because Christmas time, we'll go pin the tree. Take all the stuff and we'll go hit the pawn shops. Nobody's going to do that because you're inside. So the one thing, my brothers and my sisters, that you do have when you're incarcerated, you have something in a large quantity of, though not food, but you have a lot of time on your hands. You have a lot of downtime. You have a lot of time to yourself. Well, you see, God knows that. God puts you in a place where maybe you're going to hear his voice now because sometimes in the storm, I mean in life, I mean running around with your homeboys and your homies, I mean sometimes we just can't hear the voice of the Lord. So he puts us in a place where we're protected, where we can hear his voice. But it's all about choice. Amen. You know, last night we were talking about abandoning the ships, burn the ships, you know. And sometimes it comes a moment in life when we need to burn the ships of our past. We do so by making that decision. It's going to just take all possibility of going back to the old lifestyle, going back to the old patterns, going back to the old ways of doing everything. See, we need to burn the ship called past failure. We need to burn the ship called past success. We need to burn the ship called bad habit. We're going to burn the ship called regrets. We're going to burn the ship called guilt. And we're going to burn the ship named My Old Way of Life. And the reason we're going to do that is so that we can move forward. The reason we're going to do that is so we can start the new chapter. The reason we're going to do that is we're going to end the old chapter in our life. And there's no turning back. Amen? You see, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you just have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired until you make a decision to change your life. You know, and sometimes you said, oh, if plan A doesn't work, plan B. Well, that might work sometimes, but many of us go to plan B when plan A starts getting a little rough, and we just need to stick it out a little farther. You see, we have to think about it. You got to pray about it. Then we got to act on it. But tonight I wanted to share, and we're still going to be in the book, and it's called All In by Mark Batterson. That's B as in boy, Batterson. Just a wonderful book, and gives me a lot of opportunities to share with my brethren, with my beloved that are incarcerated, that hopefully the word that is delivered, the Rhema word, the word that the Lord had put upon my heart for each and every one of you will find hold, take root in some fertile soil. Amen. My job is to cast seeds, and that seed is, the seed that I cast is the word of God. The seed that I cast is the hope and the future that the Lord has for you, but it takes to have a relationship. It's a two-way street. You know, if I were to just look at a farmer. If he were to just plant the seed and walk away and not water it, not weed it, not take care of it, and not talk to it, what are the odds of that seed having fruit? What is the odds of that seed germinating? What is the odds of that seed having a chance? Slim and none. But you see, if we plant the seed, I mean the word of God, I mean the seed in fertile soil, and we come back and we water it with love and encouragement, we water that seed with an encouraging word. We surround that seed that has been planted with more seeds, with more of the word of God that it'll lift you up. We continue to nurture the word. We continue to nurture the seed and to love on the seed. You know, it's going to have a pretty good opportunity. The chance is going to be pretty good that seed will be allowed to grow. And when the seed is allowed to grow, then we have a tree. And then when we have the tree, we have the branches. And then when we have the branches, we have fruit. And then when we have fruit, we have more seed. Do you catch me? Do you feel me? Hallelujah. Somebody, come on, somebody. Because you see, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about laying the seed or the word of God in your heart. But we're going to come back. We're going to nurture you. We're going to love you. We're going to lift you up. But you've got to do your part too. You got to make sure the soil is right. You got to make sure that everything is good around the seed that has been planted so that it has the chance, because there's nothing guaranteed in life, but it has the chance that it's going to become fruitful. It's going to become a strong tree that's going to produce much fruit. And from the fruit, we get more seed, and then we get more seed and more seed. Do you get me where I'm going with this? I'm going to reel you back in because I want to go through this other chapter. And it's called Crash the Party. Anybody out there ever crash a party in your life? I may be talking to myself right here, but there was a time in my life when I was a party crasher. It didn't matter who was having the party. I was going to the party. It didn't matter if I was invited to the party. I was going to crash the party, because do you know who I am? You know, we all go through that phase in life where we think we're a lot more than we actually are. But there comes a time in your life when you have the gumption, you have the cojones, you have the intuitiveness to go crash a party you're not invited to. Amen. So this one is going to be in the book of Luke, and it's in chapter 7. If you can turn your swords, because we're going to be fighting the devil tonight. You got to open your sword, because we're going to be slaying some demons tonight. You got to have your sword with you, because you never know when the enemy is going to attack you. For those of you that don't understand what I'm talking about, the sword is the word of God. The sword is your Bible. The sword is your basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. The sword is what you shall slay the demons in the spirit with, hallelujah, by the word that will be developed and planted in your heart, hallelujah. Let's turn, my brothers and sisters, to chapter 7 in the book of Luke. It is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John of the Synoptic Gospels, and we're going to be in verses 36 to 30. A short passage, but I'd like to share it with you first, and then I'm going to come back with the Jesus book, because I'd like to share a little something if I could. I'd like to share a little chili pepper water with what we got going on our plate lunch today, okay? Amen, that's right. So we're in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 38, if you please. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Hallelujah. We're in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. I'd like to come back and share with you, if I may, my brothers and my sisters, from the Jesus book. Now, let me share with you about the Jesus book. It's the Pigeon Bible in the New Testament. And the reason I appreciate, the reason I embrace, the reason I love the Jesus book, the word of the Lord was meant to encourage you, not discourage you. The word of the Lord was meant to empower you with knowledge of what God has in store for you. But some of us, and I'm one of those, when I first came to the Lord and I first started reading the Bible, you know, the King James Version is a wonderful version of the Bible. But sometimes when you're looking at the words that say, henceforth, therefore, therewith, with, it gets a little confusing. Not all of us were able to go to Punahou and learn how to speak like that. No dig on Punahou. It's a wonderful school, wonderful educational facility. I'm trying to stress a point here. But a lot of times, if we don't understand what we're reading, do we continue to read or do we close it and go read the sports page instead? Amen? Or go read the magazine, you know, the fashion magazine or something, because that's something that's easier to understand. Amen? So the Jesus book is an opportunity to understand the Word of God in a way that we can understand it and then apply it. Amen? And then after we have that understanding, we might read other versions of the Word of God, but in the same breath, we're digging deeper and deeper into the Word of the Lord. But we have to have a starting point. Amen? So that's why Now, you probably don't have the Jesus book there with you, but if you could lend me your ear, my brothers and my sisters, if you could lend me your ear just for a second, let me speak in the Jesus Bible from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 38, what we just spoke about. This one is called Jesus Go Eat One Pharisee Guy House. One Pharisee guy, we go tell Jesus for come over his house for go eat. So Jesus, he went go over there and we go sit down by the table. Hey, but had one Henia from that town that she wouldn't do bad kind of stuff and she wouldn't go fool around. But she wouldn't go hear that Jesus stay sitting inside the Pharisee's guy house. So she go bring her bottle made from the alabaster kind stone, full with the kind perfume. She would stand behind Jesus by his feet. She wouldn't go start crying. Pretty soon, all her tears would make his feet wet. Then she go wipe his feet with her hair, kiss him, and now and pour the perfume on top of them. Amen. Amen. See, this is a very visual scene that's going on here. But you got to understand that, you know, when you read the Bible, you got to understand God has a sense of humor. And there's a lot of scenes that are quite, they remind me of like a comedy. You know, and this one right here is a classic. Let's take a look at it. We're having a party hosted by a Pharisee. Now, for those of you that understand the church and the Pharisees, that's pretty funny. I mean, if there was ever an oxymoron in the Bible, it would have to be Pharisee party. I mean, come on, how fun would it have been? I mean, they're probably bored silly. They're talking about Sabbath law and pharisaical small talk. No DJ, no punch, no piggies in the blankets, because that wouldn't have been kosher. And, you know, this party had lame written all over it. Okay, this party was like boring. But in walks this woman. You ever been in a room where a beautiful woman walks in and all heads turn towards her? Kind of like the James Bond movie action. You know, the real cute chick, she come in and all of a sudden, whoa, everybody gets sore neck, eyes left. Well, this woman wasn't beautiful. This woman had a past. You see, the Pharisees began to blush, but I bet you Jesus, he's going, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. He knew that it was going to be fun because it's just like him when he started healing on the Sabbath day. You know, and for the record, Jesus could have healed on any day of the week. But, you know, I think, along with Mark Batterson, that Jesus chose the Sabbath because it'd be more fun if he got a few religious folks riled up along the way. And if you follow in his footsteps, like Jesus, you're going to offend some Pharisees as well. Imagine that. But can you imagine the look on the Pharisee's face when this woman makes her surprise appearance? They probably go, they start coughing. But then she opens up her alabaster jar of perfume. And then she starts wiping Jesus' feet because her tears had made his feet wet. And she doesn't have a towel with her. She doesn't have a hand cloth with her. She doesn't have a chamois with her. She wipes his feet with her hair. Can anyone say, awkward, ooh, trippy? But doesn't this make a statement? See, this one act of worship between this woman who had a past, who was from ill repute, this ranks as one of the most beautiful and meaningful statements of faith in all of the scriptures. She risked her reputation, or what little she had left of it, to anoint Jesus. She knew that the Pharisees stoned women like her, but that didn't keep her from pushing all of her chips to the middle of the table. She had her most prized possession, an alabaster jar of perfume, to make her profession of faith. And this was a very expensive jar. See, the alabaster jar of perfume, my brethren, it's pure nard. It's like a herb that they harvested, I believe, in the Himalayas. And this is like half a liter. This is a lot. And the jar itself was made of semi-transparent gemstones. It's probably a family heirloom passed down from generation to generation. It might have been her whole dowry right there. See, but this alabaster jar, it represented something to her. It represented her past guilt, but also her future hope. It represented her professional identity and her financial security. This was her most precious possession. How ironic, right? That the perfume used in her profession as a prostitute would become the token of her profession of faith. She anteed up and poured every last drop on the feet of Jesus. See, breaking that bottle was her way of burning the ships. Remember we talked about burning the ships? We have to burn the ships of past failure. We have to burn the ship called past success. We have to burn the ship called bad habit. We have to burn the ship named regret. We have to burn the ship named guilt. We have to burn the ship named my old way of life. We talked about that last night. You see, but we all have to come to that moment. We all have to come to that moment where we got to come clean. There comes a moment where we need to unveil every shameful secret of sin that we have in us. There comes a moment when we need to fall fully on the grace of God. That was that moment for this woman. That was the time for this woman. You see, we want to act as though our sin disqualifies us from the grace of God. We've got that all wrong, my brothers and sisters. Our sin is the only thing that qualifies us for God's grace. Amen? We can't trust God's grace 99%. It's all or nothing. See, we want to be 1% of the equation, but you know, we can't try to save ourselves because we forfeit the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ alone by grace through faith. Going all in, my brothers and sisters, means radical repentance. We put all the cards on the table, face up, confess and repent. When you downplay sin, you downplay grace. It dishonors the sacrifice of Jesus himself. Imagine what would happen if we could get the courage that this woman had. Imagine what would happen if we could walk into a room full of self-righteous Pharisees and revealed our sin unashamedly while anointing Jesus as Lord and Savior. I know what would happen. You'd have a revival on earth and a party in heaven. You see, but breaking her alabaster jar, we got to think about this. You got to visualize this. It's giving God everything you got, your past, your present, your future. It's finding your identity and security in Christ alone, not in anything you have, anything you did, or anything you're going to do, but in Jesus himself. You see, and it's one of the most unique offerings in the entire scripture. And that's what made it so special, so personal. It was her intimate expression, love. It was her expression of faith. You know, and that's what we have to look at in our lives. Because sometimes I believe that one act of obedience can turn into someone else's miracle. I'll say that again. I believe one act of obedience can turn into someone else's miracle. What's most precious to you? Your family, your children, your job, the check, your past accomplishments, your future goals? What's important to you? Whatever you find most important to you is your alabaster jar of perfume. Do you love Jesus first, second, third, tenth? You know, you have to look at what this lady did. This alabaster jar represented everything to her. You know, but sometimes we have to ask ourselves, why do we hold back to Jesus? Why? I don't understand that. What did Jesus hold back from us? His only son, not half his son, not a quarter of his son. He crucified him on the cross. He died on the cross, all of him. You know, it's just, what are we holding out for? They say time is money, and it's not just true of time. It's true of talent too. When we give our times and our talents and our tithes for our Lord, see, sometimes who do we really think we are? We think we're greater than we are. We're nothing. How much did Jesus give the world? You know, someone once said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. I believe Jesus lived that until the very end. You know, and what's really interesting, Jesus, he knew what she gave up. But, you know, all of us, because in the Bible, you know, there was a reaction going on when this took place. And sometimes our reactions reveal more about us than our actions, because most of us are really good actors. We know how to play church. We know how to do what we need to do to get out of the system, but it's far more difficult to fake a reaction. See, the reaction of the disciples is very telling. When the woman broke open the alabaster jar, imagine what they said. Why this waste? They thought that this woman was pouring the perfume down the drain by pouring it at Jesus' feet. They were offended by it. Jesus defended it. What they called a waste, he called a beautiful thing. In fact, Jesus went so far to say, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Can you imagine what that statement did for her self-image? I mean, that had to be the greatest compliment she ever received. But you got to remember, my brothers and sisters, right where you're sitting right now, potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to God. Amen? See, sometimes you have to look at how people look at things. And it's just your perception of everything. Pharisees write people off. Prophets write people in. Pharisees see sin. Prophets see the image of God. Pharisees give up on people. Prophets give them a second chance. Pharisees give people something to live down to. Prophets give people something to live up to. You know, it's how we see ourselves. This lady was labeled a sinner. We always put labels on everything. It's our society. But you see, Jesus is in the business of turning bad beginnings into happily ever afters. He did it for the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He did it for the thief on the cross. And he did it for you and me. God never gives up on us, but we give up on God. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, all you have to do is crash the party. Doesn't matter who's having a party, just crash the party in the name of Jesus. You know, I want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. It's been a wonderful message tonight. Crash the party. Last night it was Burning the Ships. We're going to the book called All In by Mark Batterson because it has a lot of nuggets in there. And I don't care where you are in your walk with Jesus, just walk with Jesus. And for those of you that don't know him as your Lord and Savior, just talk to him. That's what prayer is all about. It's just talking to your Father in heaven. He loves you. He misses you. He wants to have a relationship. As much as you miss talking to your kids, imagine how much Jesus misses talking to you. And you have that opportunity every day and every night with all the time on your hands. These next years are the best years of your life. It's going to prepare you for a life of blessedness, a life of righteousness, and a life of fruitfulness. Get some rest. You're too blessed to be stressed. I'm going to see you guys tomorrow night. Remember, Jesus loves you right where you're at.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.